today on Real Radio.
Lord, I prayed, if you don't want me to make it to the pulpit, then don't let me make it. But if you allow me to make it to the pulpit, then I'm going to trust that you take me where your grace will sustain me. And you say, oh, Jack, oh, that's, oh, but wait, that, thank you. But what about you? It's true for you too, my friend. You are not going to go anywhere without him already determining to sustain you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 2, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, but how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. In part one of this lesson, we learned that the grace of God reveals His very nature and character. We also learned that God's grace is sovereign, meaning that He knows in advance who will choose to receive His gospel and those who will reject it. It is God's grace that even though we have offended Him, will get us into heaven. And it is God's grace that brings salvation to all that call upon His name. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that without God's grace, there is no substitution. Jesus Christ became our substitute when He died on the cross in our place. And Christ still offers to trade places with us today when we respond to His call for salvation. And now in his lesson called, Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we come, Lord, before You this morning, and we ask, God, that by Your power, by Your grace, by Your goodness, You'd bestow upon us, Father, not only in this time of worship, but, Lord, in this time of study, that, in fact, studying the Bible is worship itself. That, Lord, we would leave this place today not in any way influenced by song or by speaker, by something, Lord, that is put on here, or even by something I might say, but may we be radicalized for Jesus by what Your Holy Spirit does. God, take Your word up from off the page and embed it in our hearts. And we ask You to do this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to where we left off last week actually, and that's Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. And as you're going there, I am not kidding. I am not fooling around when I make this comment. I'm shocked and surprised that so many of you keep coming back to church here. And I mean that. I don't know if how many are just looky-loos, you're drifting by and off you go. But it seems to be this way every week, and I'm very grateful, and yet I'm honestly puzzled, because first of all, it's tough to go through a series of studies and lessons like we're doing right now on this topic when we have part one, part two, part three in a series. Now, the series we're looking at, as we've broken away from what we normally do here, that's called expositional teaching, that is starting a book of the Bible in chapter 1, verse 1, and going through the entire book, verse by verse, until we finish that book. We have stopped that right now for this doctrinal series that is necessary. And that's why it's entitled, Who Told You? This is all about you and I discerning the voice of God in the age in which you and I live. Because there's a lot of false doctrine out there today. I'm watching, you're watching people who are Christians, but they don't even sound like what the Bible has to say. They're saying things, they're doing things, they're quoting some ministries, and it's not even in the Bible. And it's almost as though 21 centuries after the church has been born, that we've seen almost a cycle back in the American culture to a church age that is having to go back to the basics all over again. But listen, thank God as believers, we have basics to go back to, right? Amen. So all these things that we're discussing should be fundamental, basic Christianity. And we started last week, and if you were not here, you can go and look online or listen online and pick up where we left off. But we're looking at this doctrine of grace, and the title is that, who told you about the grace of God? And many times the grace of God is misunderstood. That if God is gracious, then I can do anything I want to do because God's gracious. If he's gracious, he'll just forgive me for whatever I do. And I can sin up a storm because God's gracious. Or I can sin and then confess and then go back right to sinning again. And that is literally the opposite of what the Bible teaches. And it's the opposite of what the power of God's grace is all about. Church, listen, God's grace has been given to us that it might set us free, not keep us enslaved. And so we need to understand this. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 22, we remember last week, but we look at it again. There the Bible says, so all, that's all the people who witnessed Jesus, they marveled at what they saw. And what was it? What caused them to marvel when they looked at him and listened to him? It says that they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, that what Jesus said was true. And even though he spoke, because his words are written down in your Bible, what he spoke was, listen, many times we would say to the point or sharp. Many times it was so direct. Jesus never beat around the bush. He spoke the truth in love. And he was so compassionate and tender about how he spoke that when he did speak, people were able to assess his very nature. And they said he's gracious about what he says. And we saw last week also that he was gracious about what he did. When people were trapped in their sins or when they encountered trouble in life, even death, or in one case, a woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus acted graciously always in the face of a repentant heart. And he's altogether amazing. In fact, listen, Billy Graham said that, listen, and I think this is wise, the will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. I appreciate that. I need that right now personally. I found that quote by Billy Graham, not for you, that's for me. I'll tell you why. The will of God will not take Jack where the grace of God cannot sustain Jack. That's important to me right now. You guys know that I'm battling this chronic insomnia, and I have my days, I have my times, but you know, I got to tell you, I didn't think I'd be here this morning just because for the last 3 days, I've slept about 6 hours in the last 3 days, and not even 6 hours combined. Those are just moments collectively, and I feel fuzzy right now. I feel like I'm out of touch, and here's the truth of the matter. Lord, I prayed, if you don't want me to make it to the pulpit, then don't let me make it, but if you allow me to make it to the pulpit, then I'm going to trust that you take me where your grace will sustain me. And you say, oh, Jack, thank you. But what about you? It's true for you too, my friend. What's going on in your life? God's grace, listen, by his grace, you are not gonna go anywhere without him already determining to sustain you. Now, after saying that, I'm still operating in faith because I could fall off this platform and look like an idiot in front of you, and I'm gonna still have to say that was God's will. I wasn't listening. Maybe he told me to stay in the back room and not come out. But his grace never fails. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "The saints shall persevere in holiness because God perseveres in grace." What an awesome statement. Meaning this, the grace of God originates with God, it's maintained by God, and you and I will experience heaven because God will never turn his back on his very, very generous grace. And last week we saw that the very nature of grace is what God is all about. We asked this question last week. What is the grace of God? What is the grace of God? Number one, we saw that it is his actual nature. He is benevolent by nature. God is, his grace. Grace comes out of him. Church, do you remember what grace means? It's amazing. It's not human. God's grace revealed by God in the Bible is you being, can I use the word tapped? You know, tap? to tap. If you're tapped to become something, that means somebody picked you. Listen, God's will, God's benevolence, in his grace, he of his own so choosing, we'll see this in a moment as we recap, taps you, he touches you. Can I say he crowns you with his grace and he decides to do that? Church, listen, participate, please. What do you do to earn that tap from God? Can you say that a little louder?
Nothing.
There's nothing you can do. I know that frustrates some of us who think we can do something. No, God says you can't do it. God, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, boom, so to speak. You and I are at the mercy of God. In that way, God grants grace. And he does it because it is his nature to impart that grace. The second thing we saw last time is that he does this by his sovereign election. And we had some fun with this at some people's expense, I might say, but it kind of goes this way. It is true doctrinally that God, in his sovereign election, according to the Bible, picks those, chooses those who are his children. Remember we laid that down and we kind of dug it in a little bit, trying to provoke you to think, meaning this. Biblical election found in the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians and throughout the Bible for that matter is the fact that God sovereignly picks his own children. Now watch this. You saw last week that it's based upon an often neglected rule of Bible interpretation and the nature of God. God does this based upon foreknowledge. Don't start in the argument with the word predestination. You must start with the word foreknowledge. The Bible says in the book of Romans, whom God foreknew, these he also predestined. And do you remember that class that we went through that together? All based on foreknowledge, meaning that God knows everything in advance. Now watch. God knows those who, when the gospel goes out, preached around the world, shared by us to others, God knows those who will pick and those who will reject. How does he know that? Because he's eternal. Does God make people reject him? No, he doesn't. Does God make people choose him? No, he doesn't. God knows because he knows everything. He knows that when the gospel came to you, you would accept or reject. Based upon his eternal foreknowledge, now he operates in predestination. It's very simple if you think about it. Now, you might be here today and you might say, well, I'm not a Christian, but are you saying that God may not have picked me? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Well, what if I want to be a Christian? Well, then you're welcome. Well, what if I'm not? We'll see you later. No, actually, we won't see you later. Well, that kind of concerns me. Well, then hallelujah. Well, what if I'm not? What if I don't want to praise the Lord? Well, then you don't have to. Do you see where I'm going with this? If you're concerned about this, then you need to open up your ears and your heart because God is inviting you. You think about that for a moment. And then lastly, we saw last week that his salvation is for all those who'll call upon him. Isn't that awesome? Well, how do I get saved? You call upon the Lord. Well, what if I don't want to call upon the Lord? Well, then read the first two subpoints and deal with it. But if you do, what do? You call upon the Lord. And we saw last week that means that you understand who Jesus Christ is and what he's done at the cross, and you respond to his offer of salvation, which is by the grace of God, unearnable, unworkable, unsomehow barter. You can't barter, trade for God's grace. God provides it. You can't earn it. And you can't do anything to have him bestow it out of obligation. Now we jump into the second consideration in our study, church, and it's this today. Who told you and I about the grace of God? Well, did we learn this? Did we learn the importance? Why is God's grace important? Why is God's grace so important? And why do I bring it up? Because according to the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, it is God's grace that will get you and I into heaven based on certain theological facts. God's grace. Church, let's remember this. God's grace is free to us. The reason why it's free to us is because it cost him everything. Now you think about that for a moment. How can something cost God? He possesses everything. All of a sudden that shatters our silly attempt to impress God with how long we pray, how much we give, what we do, our religious activity, impossible. God has never required that of you. But what he does require of you is to respond to something that cost him everything. It's so expensive that not even the infinite amount of angels could have afforded it. And that is that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born into this world under the demands of the law, that Jesus Christ would live a perfect life and qualify not only as a man before the law of God, but then go to the cross and die in our place for us. That's why God's grace is so important in three very important ways. Church, mark them down if you would. I hope you don't get bored with this. First service was so bored, they were almost all asleep after first service. I was tempted to be offended, but I found myself going to sleep also in first service. But anyway, listen, without his grace, church, mark it down, there is no substitution. Can you write that word down? Substitution. Without God's grace, there is no substitution. You say, what do you mean substitution? Well, first of all, the word substitution or his being in our place, the word actually means this. It's very important. It means that Jesus Christ himself willfully became our substitution by offering himself at the cross, listen, simply put, in our place. He put himself where you and I were destined, condemned to be. You ever think about that? That Jesus Christ went to the cross and he was condemned at the cross in the sense that our sins were laid upon him. Was Jesus a sinner? No. But was our sin, according to the Bible, placed on him? Yes. And how does he do that? By his grace, he enters in and he is our substitute. It's the very foundation of true biblical worship. You cannot worship God without someone representing us in a substitute manner. And that someone has got to be one and only Jesus Christ alone. There's nobody else. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Because as you meditate on this truth, that there can only be one substitute for my sin, Jack's sin, it cannot be Jack. Listen, I hope this sets you free. It may hurt a little bit before it sets you free, but listen. The moment you think that I'm going to come now to Jesus, I've been hearing the word of God, I've been hearing the Bible, and I'm going to come, and this is what I bring to the deal. Hi, God. I got it now. Here I come. And I bring, no. There is nothing that you possess that can be brought into the substitution. You can't help God. Why is his grace so important? God's grace demands that he deal with this on his own. That's why he's our Redeemer. That's why he's our Savior. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible starts there saying, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Propitiation. Christ died in our place. And in that, he was our substitute. According to the Bible, you and I deserve to go to that cross to die. But Jesus took our place, your place. Listen, there's a great quote. You've heard this before. I found it kind of funny because people try to take credit for it. let me tell you this quote, and it's anonymous. I say that because I looked this up online trying to find the quote, and it was attributed to some. I'm not going to name his name. You'd know who he is. It's attributed to him. The guy never made it up. It predated him by about 100 years. So listen, you've heard this before. Just know this. Nobody knows who said it. He came to pay a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. You ever hear that before? We don't know who wrote that. A lot of people take credit for it. I just know it's true. Look, in this life, you and I know things about what being a substitute looks like. When someone stands in the place of another, in some capacities, for example, there's one where if you're thinking most commonly, we have a substitute teacher today in the classroom. Someone is teaching, standing in that place. Or maybe you go to work, or maybe you go to some other arena, and there's the person that was supposed to be there. Now someone has stepped in. For whatever reasons, it's irrelevant for us. But someone takes the place. This is Christianity. That Jesus Christ stepped into your condition, your place, my place. And he did this intentionally. It's remarkable. I don't know if you saw the news this week, but Israel's right now evaluating if there's a new intifada taking place, because there have been Muslim terrorists breaking into Israeli homes and slaughtering the occupants in the middle of the night. And I'm not encouraging you to look at the photos, but they're available at various military sites and all, and it's unbelievable. And in this one that just happened the other day, an entire family was slaughtered, and a neighbor heard the screaming and responded with gunfire and wounded the terrorist. And the Israeli IDF arrived, and the last I heard on the news is that the Israeli hospital and the surgeons were trying to save the terrorist's life. And you think about that for a moment. Maybe you feel like I feel. Why? I mean, if I let my thoughts go back to the old Jack, I could tell you why. I could tell you why graphically. In fact, you ought to get a video camera, and that's how much I believe in. You know, but that's not, listen, that's not the new Jack, because that's not the Jesus that you and I know. Jesus would step into this place, and Jesus would rescue this guy. God doesn't ask for our approval, because we would say no. That man deserves death. He's a murderer. But there are those fighting right now to save his life. No, granted, yes, he'll stand trial and all that stuff for what, but listen, that's not the deal. There are those fighting to save him. Listen, if mankind can do that for whatever reasons, can't God do that for us regarding salvation? When God looks and he says, I love you. Now watch this, I love you. That's God's nature, I love you. If you believe it or not, listen, if you do not believe that, it doesn't make it less true. God loves you. And God says, I want you in heaven with me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God? Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have accepted the transforming grace of God, forgiven, renewed, and walking in holiness. Who Told You About the Grace of God? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness and grace, as well as His plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Politics According to the Bible, written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Now, this book was a major inspiration for Pastor Jack's Worldview series. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the book of the month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's book of the month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. Hey, here's a thought. Let's say you're in the doctor's office or you're waiting in your car for some reason. You've got a little bit of time to kill. Here's an idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. What a great way to spend a few minutes or a few hours. Check in with everything that is Real Radio on a daily basis. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app, or you can click through our website if you'd like. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. We'd love to have you join us as often as you can. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.